This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR, and we are all about finding a way to navigate life in a time of uncertainty together. I'm Jack Rodolico. Speaking about all that uncertainty, at this point, we know where we've been, right? Months into a pandemic without a vaccine, joblessness, economic recession. On top of that uncertainty, a civil rights movement pushing us like a wave toward a presidential election. So much is happening, it's overwhelming. But I want to know, as you look forward, are you optimistic or are you pessimistic about the future? Do you see darkness ahead or a glint of light? Optimistic or pessimistic? Call us now to tell us your perspective. Our number is 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700. Share your voice, your story here on New Hampshire Calling from NHPR. This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR, where we help each other navigate daily life in this time of uncertainty. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. So, are you overwhelmed yet? Are you completely saturated yet with the uncertainty in this country of ours? The uncertainty that seems to grow every week. First, we had a pandemic, then an economic crisis, then a reckoning about police violence against Black Americans, and then a reckoning on racism in virtually every institution. And hey, don't forget, there's a pretty important election in a few months. The only thing that seems certain is that none of us know what's going to happen next. And that's what leads me to my question tonight. I want to know, as you look forward into this uncertain future, are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? If you're optimistic, what's giving you hope? What's your silver lining in this crazy storm? And if you're pessimistic, what's weighing you down? What's keeping you awake? And look, it does not have to be either or. You can cheat on this test. That's okay with me. The answer can be A and B. Maybe you are a jumble of optimism and pessimism about what comes next. Tell us about it. What do you think about the future? Optimistic or pessimistic? The number is 603-513-7700. Again, the number is 603-513-7700. Or email us your opinion at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Before we go to callers and before I introduce our first guest, there's something I want you to know, something about this show, New Hampshire Calling. New Hampshire Calling is a pop-up show, as I've been saying for months now, and next week we're going to pop back down. We've been on the air pretty much four nights a week since March, and next week we'll have our final shows. For now. You know, when we started this show, what we really wanted to do was create a place for people to connect in a moment when we all suddenly found ourselves isolated and everything was sort of upside down and different. And I know I speak for everyone who helps me make this show every night when I say that that is what New Hampshire Calling has done for us. I hope you have learned as much as I have while listening to your fellow Granite Staters about how they're coping with this pandemic, about how they are responding to calls for action against racial injustice. I really genuinely feel like I understand the state I live in better because of this show, and thank you for that. And this pop-up show, as I said, is gonna pop back down as of next week for the time being. But not till next week. Right now, let's talk. We want to hear from you. Remember, here's the question. In the face of so much uncertainty, political turmoil, demands for civil rights, the coronavirus, don't forget about that one, are you feeling optimistic about the future, pessimistic, or both? New Hampshire Calling is live. Our phone number is 603-513-7700. Again, 603-513-7700. You can also email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Okay, I've got a guest who I'm welcoming back to the show, who I'm delighted to have again. Jada Hebra is on the line via Zoom, which runs some of our lives these days. Hi, Jada. Welcome back.
Hi, Jack. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's good to have you back. So I'll let people know you are you've got one of these long titles that I think means you do a lot of things and you have a lot of responsibility. Senior Vice President and Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer at SNHU.
That's right.
Yes. And, okay, so I feel like let's just you and I talk about this theme for here for a minute, because I kind of feel like there's no wrong answer, like optimistic, pessimistic. What's your take?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I would take the cheat. I think it depends on where you sit in society. I think it would be unfair to say, hey, we should have hope when we don't walk in everybody's shoes and we don't know people's experiences. And so I don't want to spread fairy dust around and say, hey, everybody should be happy. But I will say that I'm optimistic. I have hope. I don't think there's really a choice. The alternative is despair and giving up. And frankly, that's not the legacy of my family personally, and not the legacy of Black folk in this country, who have been persecuted for, a long, long time. So, and I believe in human nature. I believe in the human virtues. And I think that we've seen a lot worse actually in history. So I choose hope. I choose optimism, but I don't want to foist that on people who might be feeling very depressed, very despairing. I think that's not fair for us to do that.
Yeah. So. And so Jada, you grew up in New Hampshire, you've been here for a lot of your life. And, when it just comes to where New Hampshire is going, you say you've got optimism. You know, is there anything in particular that makes you feel optimistic about the direction your state is taking?
Yeah, I think New Hampshire people are can-do people. And I think I said this before, they're sturdy, kind of steady people who kind of see a thing and say, that's not right, we got to fix it. And they just fix it, roll up their sleeves and fix it. And I think a lot of New Hampshire people, regardless of race, ethnicity, background, whether they're native to New Hampshire, see clearly that there is something that needs to be fixed. And from friends and family to just anecdotal evidence of people sort of saying, there's something wrong here and we need to weigh in and lean in. I think that New Hampshire people do that and have done that throughout history, frankly.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. We've got people on the lines, so we're going to go to some phone calls, but I just want to remind people tonight we are talking about optimism and pessimism. I know, maybe you're an optimist or maybe you're a pessimist by nature, but the question is, we got a pandemic, an unemployment crisis, a civil rights movement, and an election coming soon. What is giving you hope as you look to the future? Is something keeping you awake? Are you optimistic about the future, pessimistic, or both? The phone lines are open. Call us, 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700, or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. Let's go to Pamela first in Hollis. Pamela, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your being there so very much. I'm neither optimistic or pessimistic. It depends on what the issue is, because they're all individual. But we are very resourceful, and many good things will come out of this tragic episode of time. However, it's not about glasses being half empty or half full, because the glass is refillable. It's refillable. It may be filled up in a different way, a better way. Some will be good, some will be bad. But it's opportunity. And I think someone told me once that the Chinese word for crisis means also opportunity.
I see, Jada, you're nodding your head pretty hard there as Pamela's talking. Did you have a thought?
No, I've heard, I know that Chinese character, and it is crisis. It actually means opportunity, which is a beautiful thing.
Oh, isn't that marvelous that I actually have a fact that is verifiable? I appreciate that. I'm very impressed.
We're very impressed with you, Pamela. And let me just ask you, have you been in New Hampshire a long time?
I have been in here, well, on and off. I live in Massachusetts, so yes, New Hampshire is part of our world. But yes, I've been living here since about 1989, and basically I deal with people and talk them out of trees. So it helps. My own life, not so good. For other people, fantastic. And if we could just manage that, just kind of keep the eye on the other fellow and keep him from drowning, it might save our own lives someday. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay, Pamela, thanks so much for calling. It's good to hear from you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Shanti in Manchester. Hey, Shanti, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, optimistic, pessimistic, somewhere in between?
I'm adding my optimism. Okay. I mean, I'm terrified, but I think one thing we have that we didn't have last pandemic, the last plague, is internet, is communication at instantly. And this revolution is being televised. We have seen like the horrific things that happen with racism. People cannot avoid knowing this anymore. And, you know, our science is better, but I think we're learning from our mistakes and we can talk about them. We've got teenagers shaming old white men, and I think that's beautiful. So I think there's a lot of hopefulness, a lot of good things.
Thank you. Thank you, Shanti. We appreciate hearing from you. Jada, it's sort of like one of the things that we were talking about before the show earlier today is this idea that like it's sort of emerging as a theme in a few calls already, but there are people who believe that you really cannot have the good without the bad, right? And in some ways, I think what I've heard from a lot of people calling into the show is that like you have to have a moment like this where you see the bad that we've all been living with for a while, and whether that's racial injustice, whether that's going back to the pandemic, let's remind ourselves of that, you know, a healthcare system that wasn't terribly equitable in the first place, a job market that wasn't terribly equitable in the first place. You know, it seems like there, for some people, there's this silver lining in just exposing the thing that was already there.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. The yin and the yang, like you can't have too much of one thing or the other, but something that Shanti said really makes me think about the thing that I'm pessimistic about, actually, and that is social media. And I know that, and that there are two sides of that coin. So, like you say, you've got that there's a good side to the internet, but there's a real downside, and that's what concerns me the most and makes me most pessimistic about this moment is that that internet and the social media and the it has the capacity to really delude us and mute our better instincts, because knowledge is power. And if knowledge is up for sale, which I think it is in social media, I think we're in real trouble. In your profession, it's all about championing the truth, finding the truth, being objective and holding it up. That's eroding. And so I worry about our ability to tap into the, you know, as Lincoln said, the better angels of our nature, if we don't even have firm ground on which to stand to even have a conversation. So that's the thing that I'm actually pessimistic about.
How about you listening out there? Are you feeling optimistic? Are you feeling pessimistic about the future? Patrice writes in via email. She says, personally, I choose optimism. I think about all the things prior generations have gone through, Great Depression, World War II, Vietnam, etc. And it makes me take a deep breath and think, quote, this too shall pass. How about you? Are you pessimistic about the future? Is it all just too much? Is there a particular thing that is nagging you about the direction we are going that, you know, maybe despite an optimistic outlook, is you just can't get over your pessimism about? What is that thing that worries you about the future? You know, whether it's the pandemic, unemployment, civil rights movement, what are your thoughts about an optimistic or pessimistic future? Call us at 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700, or email nhcalling at nhpr.org. Pat is calling from Bow. Hey, Pat, welcome to the show. Hey, Pat, are
Hello?
You there? Yes.
Yes, I am. Oh, hi. I thought they were just taping me and going to, you know, put it on.
No, we got you on the air.
So you want to know whether I'm optimistic or pessimistic?
Correct, yes. What do you think?
Yes. So I call myself a pragmatic optimist.
Okay.
Which means that I am of the older generation now. My father was a World War II vet. I lived as a young child through the Civil Rights Movement, saw Vietnam with the names of the soldiers being killed scrolled on the TV every single day. You know, the Gulf War, the women's movement, 9/11, on and on and on. And what I found out of a lot of these things is how I feel is that we have to go to an extreme to come into the middle and to understand each other and to learn from each other and to make the changes that we need to make. And I'm rather disappointed that we didn't make and keep more changes from the past, but I think we need to come to this. I also think that the COVID-19 situation is giving us the worst cabin fever we've ever had, especially if we're doing things right, like wearing our masks, staying away from crowds, you know, doing what we need to do to stay healthy. It's very stressful. And I feel very bad for the young people who feel that this might be the end of the world, because I really don't think it is. I have more faith also in our young people now to make change, because I think they're really stepping up to the plate. And we need them. It just can't be all about mature people. We need the children and the young people and the teens to help us figure out what to do to make this world a better place.
Thanks, Pat, for calling in. We appreciate your perspective.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jada, we're going to go to a break here in a moment, but just quickly, you know, you've lived in New Hampshire longer than I have. I've been here about 10 years. In the past 10 years, I can't remember a moment when young people have had such a strong and consistent voice. You know, this is often classified as an older state if you look at the state's demographics. But young people are really starting to control a conversation in a way that I personally haven't seen happen in New Hampshire.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, I will go back to my hopefulness.
Yeah.
Optimism. The young people, absolutely. They will lead us. And partly because I think because they can navigate this, the internet and the social media in ways that my generation cannot, they're so savvy and they can manipulate it and they can cut through it in a way that we can't. No disrespect to the young people. I've got young people in my home, but you know, it's almost like they're fearless because that frontal lobe isn't fully developed yet. It's almost like when you get older, you get so risk averse because you start rationalizing everything. But these young people are like, hey, all bets are off. This is unfair. You know, you look at third graders and third graders are like, that's not fair. And they get indignant. That's how these young people are. And that's what it takes. That's what it's going to take. Yeah.
We're talking on our show on New Hampshire Calling tonight about optimism and pessimism. We are looking at a very uncertain future. You know, whatever angle you look at, whether it's the election coming up, unemployment, and a civil rights movement, pandemic, don't forget about that one. What's giving you hope? Or what's keeping you awake? Are you optimistic about the future or are you pessimistic about the future? We want to hear from you next. Call us at 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. We will be right back. Welcome back. This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR where we help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. And tonight, right now, we are asking you to call in or write in and answer this question. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future? We've got a lot bearing down on us right now. A pandemic, an unemployment crisis, a civil rights movement, and an election is coming soon. Pretty big one, right? What's giving you hope? What's not giving you hope? Are you optimistic about our future? Are you pessimistic about our future? Or is it both? Are there parts of our future that you feel optimistic about and others that you just can't, no matter how hard you try? Call us to share your opinion. 603-513-7700. 603-513-7700. Or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. I am joined on the line via Zoom by Jada Hebra of SNHU. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, I think we got a pessimist on the line. So let's go to Ernest and Northwood. Sorry, Ernest, okay. If I took the wind out of your sails. But how are you feeling?
Well, that's quite all right, Jack. I have to say I am a little bit on the pessimistic side, and it's primarily because my feeling is that as a society, as a culture, we're not learning much from mistakes of the past. All the things you just listed, employment problems, environment problems, racial tensions, we've been down these roads before, and here we are again. As a culture, even as a planet, we seem to be becoming smarter in the sense of knowledge, facts, figures, technology. but not wiser. We're not doing much better at understanding how we interact with each other as humans. We're certainly not getting any better at discerning good quality leadership. We seem to be just as gullible to misinformation and deliberate and outright falsehood. And that's a big concern I have.
And is this unique for you? Like, are you more pessimistic by nature, or is it this moment that's really that you're feeling not terribly hopeful about?
Well, I in terms of my personal nature, I'd like to think I'm a fairly confident individual. But when I look across society as a whole, I'm somewhat disheartened by our inability to make progress on social issues, to make progress on humanitarian issues. I just think that there's so much more potential if we could learn to be just a lot better to each other and a lot better to our world. But it seems like that's still a hard lesson to get across.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your perspective. Thanks very much, Ernest.
Have a good night.
Our number is 603-513-7700. Are you optimistic about the future of this country, of this state? Are you pessimistic about the future? Are you both? That's what we want to know in this moment with all this turmoil and so much change. What's making you optimistic and pessimistic about the future? Call us at 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. Carol from Keene writes, when Italy had a severe economic downturn in 2008, which was worse than our recession here, I wrote to my Italian friends expressing my sorrow for their situation. They wrote back and said, we will be okay. We've been here for 2,000 years. That's, she says, I am optimistic because I have decades of experience with our country going through very tough times, such as the 60s. You know, Jada, your family has a history in this state. You've told me a bit about your father's role in helping get New Hampshire to finally, when it happened, honor Martin Luther King Day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, tell me about that, and like, how does that give you perspective on this moment?
Yeah, a lot of perspective. I mean, he's really my touchstone. He, you know, like many people, just overcame unbelievable odds, grew up in Jim Crow South, Birmingham, Alabama, left, joined the Army, ended up in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. And was a legislator. And under Gene Shaheen, the MLK holiday kept getting passed over, and he testified on the floor and really talked about his life. And, you know, the story goes that it was so moving that people, you know, finally voted it in because of his personal story. So resilient, but he just believes in the power of community and people. And to the previous caller who was pessimistic, I hear that, you know, when community breaks down, when you don't have proximity to people where you begin to understand their lived experience and they understand yours, that's where it really does start to break down. You lose faith. My dad, just to this day, you know, he's still alive, God bless him, believes in the power of that one-on-one individual connection, and then it spreads out and you build community connections and proximity to people, and that is what will sort of be the antidote to all the mess that's trying to break us apart. And he will say, you can never lose hope. And right now in this moment, and he's lived through all this stuff that people have cataloged, he says, it's okay. We're going to get through this. You cannot lose hope. That is the first and the only way we're going to be defeated. So yeah, he lifts up a lot of people, and he has lifted up a lot of people in New Hampshire. And he's my inspiration.
Remind everybody what his name is.
Harvey Key.
Harvey Key.
Yeah. And he always says you can't say Harvey without smiling.
Right? He sounds like an optimist by nature.
He is.
How about you listening out there? We are hearing from a lot of optimists. We have heard from one definitive pessimist so far, I think. I'm curious who out there is struggling with both. You've got to be out there listening right now thinking, man, I am optimistic about X, but pessimistic about Y. What is that struggle like for you? What are you optimistic and pessimistic about at the same time? Call us to tell us, 603 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700. Or email nhcalling at nhpr.org. On the line now is Sam. Sam, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm so glad to have you again.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so... it's an interesting evolution, you being a guest on the show, Sam Searles. So we first had you on a show that we did that feels like a lifetime ago, where we asked our audience, right? Yeah, a lifetime ago, where we asked our audience, what's the best concert you ever went to? Which sounds so trivial now, but people loved it. It was like such a fun show, and you are involved in theater in New Hampshire, so you are sort of my sidekick for the show, and you provide all this great perspective. Okay, that was a lifetime ago, a month ago. Now you are communications director for Black Lives Matter Nashua. New gig for you, right?
Yeah. This chapter is a little less than a month old. We were inspired by all the great work being done by Black Lives Matter in Manchester. And so, we threw together, our chapter, and we've had events in Nashua and Merrimack so far.
Okay. Okay, so, and so you are new to this role with Black Lives Matter Nashua. Okay, are you optimistic or pessimistic? Like, is it that simple? Is it a simple dichotomy, or is it more complicated?
It is very complicated. Thank you for bringing up people who kind of oscillate between the two. I have had a lot of moments where I've been like, wow, this is amazing. To see, particularly I planned the Merrimack event, and to see the community come together and try to make it work and have it be so successful was amazing. You know, I had a woman message me and said, I'm really pregnant, so I can't really be there, but I can donate water. Like, just where do you want it? And so, she donated water, and that was amazing. Then at the same time, I had a Facebook friend tell me that the Founding Fathers didn't own slaves today, which... I can't even begin to unpack that. So I'm seeing both. I'm seeing, definitely this willingness for some people to come together and listen and build stronger community relationships. And then I'm also seeing, this denial that I think the North and New Hampshire tends to have a lot towards these issues. But I will say that, one kind of gauge that I have for myself on, where we're doing is, I'm 21 now, so when I have kids, am I going to have the conversation that most Black and brown families have to have? At this point, I'm still going to need to have it.
And this is the conversation about having with your Black child about, police and how to interact with police to keep yourself safe?
We're going to start there because that poses the most danger, but it's not just that. It's, people are going to make fun of you because of something that you can't change. And, my parents had to have that conversation with me, and I've seen it happen with my cousins and things like that. So, at this point, that conversation still needs to happen. So that's on a personal level. But at the same time, I'm having amazing conversations with friends I haven't talked to in years saying, I need to do more research, like point me in the right direction, which is amazing.
I want to go back to something you said earlier, because I've actually heard callers and people who've reached out to the show over the last few weeks, since we kind of pivoted and started talking about racism in New Hampshire. I have spoken with and heard from multiple people who are New Hampshire residents, although it's not unique to New Hampshire, who are Black, who say, people who I thought were my friends and thought understood me, I see them saying things often on social media that makes it clear to me that they don't get where I'm coming from. It kind of, that speaks to that comment about the American founders not having slaves that you just saw on social media today. I mean, is part of what's going on for you now, Sam, like growing up Black in New Hampshire, being involved in the civil rights movement, are you like reevaluating relationships, and does that bring a note of optimism and pessimism for you?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've had, a lot of friends reach out and be like, let me know when the next event is. Like, I want to make sure that I'm there. My best friend, bless her, drove 3.5 hours from Vermont to come down and be at the Black Lives Matter March in Manchester with me. So, I'm definitely seeing that. There's also people who are, you know, making changes, and maybe their family isn't supportive of the changes that they're making, and so they're having to deal with that as well and break that cycle. But yeah, I mean, social media is a double-edged sword, especially right now, because it's really the only way people have to interact. So we're just being inundated with, you know, people's opinions and feelings. But, you know, I had a friend from my church post something that had, you know, was in support of the Confederacy. And I told her, I commented below, and I was like, hey, you know what, let's have a conversation about why this is hurtful, because it is. And, you know, they said, okay, and I've heard nothing back, right? So it's one of those things where, you know, it really does. And I mean, you don't want to be paranoid either, but it's like, man, I've known, you know, that person in particular since I was a child. And it's like, you know, was that there that whole time, or is it just coming out now or whatever? I tend to think of myself as an optimist, but, you know, life makes you more of a realist. Mm-hmm. And so trying to work on, you know, platforms to build education with and really give this movement, you know, a place to speak and say, we talk about safe spaces a lot, but, you know, a safe space can be as simple as a conversation. Both sides just need to know that they're going to be respected. Mm-hmm. You can disagree as much as you want, but you need to know that both sides will be respected and not dismissed and things like that.
Yeah.
It's really important.
I see Jada nodding a lot as you're talking. I'm curious, Jada, if you have any thoughts to share with Sam, or questions or comments. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just affirm everything you're saying, Sam, and I hear you so loudly. I think there's a difference between not knowing and willful ignorance. And there's legitimate not knowing. We don't teach this stuff in our schools. The dominant narrative is absolutely not lifting up the injustices that have happened for so many years to a whole host of different people. So the not knowing, if you don't seek it out, then I'm not surprised that you don't know. But I also think that there is a willful ignorance. So even when you are told and when you're shown the data, the facts, whatever, people still want to rationalize and you know, reconcile their beliefs. And then it becomes willful ignorance. And that's really dangerous, the latter one. I think that there's hope for people who just didn't know. And I feel like you didn't know because nobody told you. Mm-hmm. And unless you took an elective in college, or, you know, somebody told you, or, you know, shared a book with you, you're not going to know, because it's not a part of our mainstream culture to talk about this stuff. And yet now, like in this moment, after this moment, there is no excuse for you not to know. And then it becomes willful ignorance. And then that's when you start having to make decisions about who your friends are. And I think that those are fair choices to make, to be like, you know what? I'm not going to abide your willful ignorance anymore. It's been nice knowing you. See you later. I think that's completely acceptable. But at the same time, I do believe that we need to give people a little bit of leeway if they really didn't know. But in this moment, that's hard to give.
Right. Sam, moving forward, do you have a sense of what is next for Black Lives Matter in New Hampshire, particularly, like, and if you don't, I don't know if you have an answer to this or not, but like, are you coalescing around policy changes, or specifically like at the State House around police reforms? Are there specific goals you're starting to create and work towards?
Yeah, we're putting those together now. I can say that we have an event in Concord on Saturday at the State House. We'll be talking about, you know, things like, you know, even better voting policy here in the state. And so that's going to be a great place for people to network and make connections, because what we really want to be able to do is, you know, keep conversations going, so that, you know, I mean, I'll be the first to say it, from what I've studied on my own for Black history, I know almost nothing about Asian American history. You know, it's things like that where it's like, okay, we need to talk about policy that's going to work on education, talk about policy that's going to work on, you know, voting and registration and all these aspects that aren't being talked about enough. You know, I gave an interview earlier today where I said, it's almost like there's this multi-layered sandwich, right? And you can't fit all of it in your mouth as just one person. You know, there's all of these different things that need to be looked at.
And by the time it would take to write out a full list, there'd be a few more things added to it because that's just how the system is set up.
Yeah.
So analyzing the system, okay, you know, why is it that we seem to operate on this, you know, white, Christian, male, wealthy, straight platform as the default? And you know, analyzing how to broaden that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Sam, good luck. And I appreciate you coming back on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here, but don't forget our theme tonight. We want to hear from you next. Call us. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future? What is the thing that is giving you hope, or what is the thing that is keeping you up at night in this tumultuous moment? Call us, 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR, where we help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. Tomorrow night on our show, give you a little bit of an update on what the Thursday night music show is going to bring you. I am really, really excited about this one. It is really cool. If there's a theme, I would vaguely call it Music of This Moment. We are doing a show entirely built around the music that has been released over the last few months. This is really cool stuff. There is stuff that is really kind of inspired by the pandemic. There is stuff that is inspired by the civil rights movement. And then there's stuff that just happened to come out in the last few months, but it kind of feels prescient in a moment, or maybe just a bit of a release. Music of the Moment, that's tomorrow night, all new music just over the last few months since this pandemic hit us. That'll be tomorrow night at 7 on New Hampshire Calling. Back to your calls and your ideas and thoughts. Now, I want to know if you are optimistic about the future or pessimistic. You know, this has been overwhelming. You know, I talk to people all the time who say that they can't handle the news. They can't handle the election coverage. They can't handle, in many aspects, their own lives because of everything that's intersecting in this moment. And so I want to know, like, is there something that's giving you hope when you look forward? What is making you optimistic? And what is bearing down on you? What do you feel pessimistic about looking into our collective future? Call us at 603-513-7700. That's 603-513-7700. Or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. Jada Hebra of SNHU, good to have you. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, we're still here. we're still doing this.
Here.
Yeah. So I'm struck so far about it. There does seem to be this theme of like rip off the scab because you have to get out the infection and move forward. But I go back to something you said earlier about like it is hard. Forgive me if I'm misquoting or paraphrasing, but like, you can feel that pessimism, right? Of like, you know, there are, it does feel like a lot of ways there are things that are happening right now where we've been here before.
There's a thread of that for sure that you have to kind of acknowledge and confront because it does seem like, and I think I said this the last time I was on here, it does feel like an addiction. Racism feels like an addiction that we're just not maybe going to be able to kick. You know, addictions are hard to kick. And this one is pretty deep. And so the best we can do is do what you can in your lifetime and hope that one day it will change. I personally don't think that we will see major change in my lifetime, but I do believe that the things that I do in my day-to-day are contributing to something down the road. The woman who wrote The Warmth of Other Suns, like I'm not recalling her name, talks about the fact that, you know, we will not live in the same amount of time of freedom that people were enslaved, right? Like the people right now, that's 400 years. So it's a trajectory, it's a marathon. And so it's sad and it hurts and it's hard, but I do believe that one day we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me going. And whatever little sphere of influence you can impact, do it.
Yeah. And you know, going back to the pandemic and the economic crisis that has created, we've heard from so many people on this show who, you know, basically have talked about how they were almost there already, you know, and how they were sort of on a knife's edge, and then this happened, and then they lost that job. And to me, it's, if there's a note of optimism, pessimism, it's around that of, you know, we these things were already here, you know, for a lot of people. There are a lot of families in this state and everywhere else who were already doing the best they can and just kind of getting by. And then this pandemic happened and they are really struggling now, you know, and that's tough. It's tough to turn the corner on that.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the phone now to someone who we had on an earlier show who called in, and we're happy to have back. Will, are you on the line?
Yes, indeed. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So, Will, you called in to a show. Your last name is Davis. You're Will Davis. You live in Nashua. And we had you called in on a show, again, feels like a lifetime ago, where we talked about the stuff that is keeping you occupied during the pandemic. What are you watching? And you and I had a lengthy conversation that was, I hope, delightful to listen to. It's delightful to have, about like Mystery Science Theater and your cats and stuff. And then after the show, you sent this email where you said, "Hi, I'm the crazy Brit living in Nashua, New Hampshire, and we talked about the wonderful Mystery Science Theater 3000, and then you sent us this picture of your cat. So we thought it would be a good time to just check in with you again and see how you're doing. How are you feeling? Optimistic? Pessimistic? What's your take?
Well, you know, I am what you would call an opportunist. Do you know what the difference is?
The optimist. Yeah, go ahead.
The optimist thinks that the glass is being half full. The pessimist thinks that the glass is being half empty. The opportunist says, "Yippee, free drinks."
And how does that play out in your life?
Well, I think America will survive. As Churchill said, America will eventually do the right thing after trying everything else. But I really think, I mean, America is if you look at the history, you've only got to think of, I think it's George Santayana said that those who don't learn the lessons of history are forced to repeat them. And things have happened so many times in the past, and it goes over and over again. But I think eventually America will survive, because that's the nature of the beast. It's happened so many times in the past. So I'm not too worried about it. I mean, I came over here in 1983. I was 33 years old. I was born in 1950. So I have lived more than half of my life in the United States. I love the country. I really think it's gorgeous over here. There are things that you can do over here that you can't do anywhere else in the world. So I absolutely adore it. I've lived more than half of my life here. And by the way, it's my 70th birthday on next Sunday. I share a birthday with Mel Brooks and with King Henry VIII. So
but it's quite a trio, the three of you together. And so you're going to be 70. And Will, how long have you been in Nashua?
I think for about the last 30 years.
And, you know, as I hear you saying that you're optimistic about America's future, it sounds like that you're coming at that a bit from the perspective as an immigrant or someone who's come here and sees the beauty in the country. But I'm more curious what your perspective is on New Hampshire, like the changes underway here, whether it's the pandemic, the civil rights movement, like where are you optimistic or pessimistic about New Hampshire in particular, or even your city of Nashua? Like, what are the changes you see in this state over that time? And where do you think we're going?
When I moved to New Hampshire, I used to live in Massachusetts. I moved to New Hampshire about maybe 25, 30 years ago. And at the time, I remember, I think Nashua was voted the either the best place, second best city in America to live. Now, I don't know whether it's gone up or down in the league since then, but I like it here. I mean, It's close to the mountains. I learned to cross-country ski when I came over because people said to me, you're going to go crazy in the winter unless you learn to ski. And to me, just going up and down in a ski lift all the time seemed to be crazy. So cross-country skiing is the thing to do. And there are so many trails. I do mountain biking and stuff. And I just love it. I really do. And I do a lot of birding. And there's so much to do over here. It's really, really good. And I think that, you know, I think that eventually everything will right itself. It's a few upheavals going on at the moment. It's just the amazing thing with the pandemic, everything has changed so quickly. And I'm sure that that's just because of the social media. Because when you think of it, all of the other things in the past never had such instant communications. And I'm sure that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it not only can you get your news quickly, but you can get fake news as well. So it's difficult to know who's telling you what. And I would advise anybody to reread George Orwell's 1984, because he predicted that. He wrote that back in the 40s and 50s. So that was way, way, way ahead of its time. And I would recommend anybody to read that. And if they wanted to watch something, there's a tour. You were talking about television earlier on, and we were talking about MST3A. Well, I've been watching a series that I first saw in the United Kingdom back in the mid-1960s. I was in my teens. A program called The Prisoner with Patrick McGoohan. I would recommend anybody see that. Don't see the remake. See the original, because it is absolutely amazing.
And Will, what was it? What was it called again?
The Prisoner. P-R-I-S-O. Sorry, O-N-E-R.
Sure, The Prisoner. Yeah. Will, it's great to talk to you again. Happy birthday! I'm so glad your birthday's coming up this weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take care. Tell the cats we said hi.
Okay.
We'll give Beth the last word tonight. She writes by email, I am basically optimistic person by nature, and so I look for and find the positives in this. These are chaotic times, and to my mind, necessary times. We have been doing so much without thinking. We've damaged the earth and harmed one another in so many ways. And this period of time is, I believe, our opportunity to change. What do you think, Jada?
I love that. I think she's just right. I think, like someone said earlier, within a crisis, there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And this pandemic and all of these things are forcing us to reckon with some ugly stuff, but we're coming up with some really beautiful stuff and realizations and epiphanies. And I think it's just an awakening and a blossoming. And I think she's just right. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jada Hebra, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I really appreciate it, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah. No, thanks for having me. This is so much fun.
Yeah. That hour went fast, huh?
It sure did.
They always do. They always do. thank you to everybody for listening. And, you know, a final little email here. Katie from Durham, she says, I was optimistic until you said you were winding down New Hampshire Calling. It was the high point of my day. Now what will I listen to as I go out and do the chores? I hear you, Katie, but we appreciate your support all these months and listening and for writing in tonight. Thanks to everyone who called and wrote in tonight. Thanks to Jada Hebra of SNHU, Sam Searles of Black Lives Matter Nashua, and Will Davis of Nashua. New Hampshire Calling is a group effort tonight. Christina Phillips answered the phones and directed our show. Mark Erickson ran the board. Pete Nakos is our community engagement producer. Corey Princell is NHPR's managing editor. Maureen McMurray is our show's executive producer. This is New Hampshire Calling. I'm Jack Rodolico, and remember, we are all in this together.